John chapter 20. Verse 28. John 20, 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. This glorious declaration of faith was uttered by a man who 1 week before, in proudness and arrogance, made this statement, verse 25. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Do you know that this is the only place in Scripture where we're told how the Lord was actually crucified by being nailed to the cross? This is the only way we know it for sure. He was crucified. He laid down his life, but this is the only Scripture that tells us how he was attached to the cross. On the day that the Lord rose from the dead, from the grave, on that day, it was that evening, Sunday evening, 10 of the disciples were assembled behind closed doors because the Scripture says that they were afraid of the Jews. That's what verse 19 of John chapter 20 says. The same day at evening, being first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Did they not need to be given the assurance of peace? How much probably went through their minds? It was the third day since he was crucified. They had forsaken him. Peter had denied him 3 times. And the Scripture says that he walked up and said to them, Peace be to you. I need that. I need for the Lord to speak peace to my heart. I need the Lord's assurance. Oh, the turmoil within. The doubts within, the fears within. Lord, do I know you or not? The thoughts I have, Lord, speak peace to me. Lord, I need to hear it. I need to know. I don't even know what to ask for. But Lord, you know. I thought again on this message this morning. I was trying to go over my notes, and I thought, I know the notes are scriptural. I know they are. But Lord, if you don't bless this message this morning, it's not going to be blessed. We'll just hear some words and we'll leave and make a few lame, you know, statements. But I'm talking about truly having peace spoken to my heart. They needed the assurance of His presence. And the Lord mercifully and compassionately showed them the proof of His resurrection. I need the continual remembrance, reminding of resurrected glory. I need to know again. Tell me again. Holy Spirit, tell me again. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. I don't have anything to brag on. I need to know by faith, Lord, allow me to know again how peace has been established for me. Because there's nothing but turmoil here. The Scripture says in verse 20, "And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." They beheld the evidence of His suffering. And they were glad. The Scripture says, when they saw the Lord, when they saw His hands, when they saw the wound in His side, they were glad. But let me tell you this, you that know Him, we're going to see Him too. We're going to see those scars too. Just like they looked, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Hold your place there. Turn to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1 to 10. "I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals." The book of God's everlasting will and purpose, His covenant of grace. "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who's worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." That's very, very revealing. "Bearing all the marks of having been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And He came, took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." What Lamb? That Lamb that had that appearance of having been slain, having every one of them harps, gold and vials, full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou, you that are bearing the marks of the slain Lamb, was slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, has made us unto our God kings, reigning with Him, and priests offering continually the sacrifice of praise unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth." The scripture says that when they saw the Lord, showed him his hands, look at my hands. Look at my side. Even now, by faith, we see. We see. I mean, I just, in my mind, I just can't help it. I just imagine there was ten men. There was 10 men standing there. And he showed them the marks of his suffering. And when they saw him, when they saw the marks, when they saw him, they were glad. Oh, that blessed thought. That he eternally bears the marks of our redemption. He was marred, the scripture says, more than any man. His visage, his appearance, was marred more than any man. Now, I don't know. All I know is this. His visage was marred more than any man. But when he saw them, this is what he still bore. The marks of his crucifixion. His hands and his side. And then the scripture declares that peace was bestowed upon them again. It said, peace be unto you. And then he said, verse 21 to 23, then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose forever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now the Lord assured them that though they doubted, though they forsook him, they denied him, believed not his promise to rise again, he assured them, you are the objects of my mercy. He loved them. And he bestowed upon them, the scripture says, peace again. And then the scripture says, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, they had already received the Holy Ghost. The scripture says in John chapter 3 and verse 8 concerning regeneration. John 3 verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Whenever Almighty God is pleased to call out one of His own, He calls them out, bestowing upon them by the power of the Holy Spirit Himself. And they're regenerated. But here the Lord's done something for them that they needed. He's commissioned them to preach the gospel. As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. But I'm not going to send you ill-equipped. He bestowed upon them the Holy Spirit. He called them. He empowered them to preach. Whenever God calls a man to preach, I've said this before, I love, Charles Spurgeon says this, whenever God calls a man to preach, the first thing he does is saves him. I thought, man, that's a good statement. Those that preach not the gospel, has the Lord saved them? No. Whenever God saves a man, saves a woman, He teaches them the gospel. They're saved by grace through faith in Christ, who is declared in the gospel. Men say, I was once saved, and then the Lord taught me the gospel. No. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. We were religious, but we were lost. Almighty God saves His people through the hearing of the gospel, through that message. It's preached. Here the Lord has saved these men. And then He equips them. He gifts them by His Spirit. He breathed on them. Breathed, and He said, you receive the Holy Ghost. And then when He said in verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Let me say this. No man born in Adam has the ability to forgive sin. To remit or forgive. That's what it means. No man has the ability to retain sins. What did He mean? The message that you preach is the message that declares sins remitted or sins retained. The message of the gospel that I'm equipping you to preach is the message. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the message that I teach you. Teach the message that I've sent you to preach. Men are saved by grace, not of works. When Almighty God saves a man, He saves him by the hearing of the gospel. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a joy. 10 men were there. 10 men standing in the very presence of the Lord and beholding the risen Christ, looked upon Him, heard Him say unto them, peace be unto you. Look at my hands. Look at my side. I'm going to send you as my Father sent me. And I'm going to equip you. He bestowed upon, breathed on them the Spirit of God and told them, this is the message that you're preaching. Oh, to hear that word. What joy. The Lord's here. But one of them wasn't there. There were only 10 that day. The Scripture says, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. They were glad. They saw the Lord. They beheld the blessing. They heard of His love for them, the evidence of their redemption and pardon, their acceptance with God Almighty. I was talking to Barham before the service, and I told him, I said, I'm so thankful for this Scripture. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Aren't you glad it's not when He sees our faith? It's not when He hears our prayer. It's not when He sees our, you know, faithfulness. Because I'm telling you, we don't stand a chance. When I see the blood, when I see the blood. Oh, they rejoiced. They rejoiced to be encouraged by the Lord's presence. And Thomas wasn't there. I don't know where he was. Scripture doesn't say where he was. Maybe he had a good reason. I don't know. He wasn't there. But the other disciples, they loved him. They were so encouraging to him. They spoke kindly to him. Tried to lift him up. They said, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. Thomas, he was here. He was here. That's a, you know, somebody you love, you talk to them kindly, don't you? That's how you talk to them. You encourage, lift them up. Yeah, lift, you're not going to, you know, they didn't browbeat him. They didn't, you know, well, you should have. Don't know what. Thomas, he saw the Lord. But listen to his attitude. This is so He said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nail, put my finger, print of the nail, thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. All he did was respond with arrogance. Hard. You're going to have to show me. I'm going to have to see it with my own two eyes. I'm not going to believe that. I don't know where he was. But his absence and his stubbornness was so costly. It cost him joy, cost him peace, cost him fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with God's people. We will never know this side of glory how much we lose because of our attitude or because of failing to miss with God's people in the hearing of the gospel. Now, I know this. I know providentially. I understand this. I mean, there's a lot of you that I know you've got schedules, you've got to work. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I don't know where Thomas was. I don't know. But providentially, we ought to make every effort to be together with God's people in fellowship every time that we can. Every time we can. Why? Listen to Matthew 18:20. We looked at this a moment ago. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now this is convicting to me. This is very convicting. What a reason to meet with God's people on the Lord's day. To meet with God's people when God's people assemble themselves together. Why? The Lord is there. The Lord is there at any time, any place, wherever it is, where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name. The Lord is there. Oh, the condescension of our blessed Savior to meet with us, to come and be at Katy Baptist Church. He's omnipresent. So that means that wherever two or three are meeting together right now, the Lord is there. He's God. And what a blessing He bestows upon our fellowship. Fellowship. Isn't that a sweet word? Fellowship. God's people meeting together, encouraging one another, praying for one another, lifting one another up, speaking of the things of the Lord. If we pant after fellowship with Him, seek to be found with God's people, what believer would purposefully absent himself from the place of God's blessing? I think about that. I think I need to be encouraging people to come more. Asking them to come. Asking them to say, look, come. Come. Why? This is where the Lord's going to bless it, right here, Carl. This is it, right here. This is where God's going to bless the preaching of the gospel, where His people assemble themselves. I'm in the midst of you. The Lord saved some of us. He may say more. Who knows? But thanks be unto God The Lord has not left us to ourselves. The Scripture says He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Boy, I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad the Lord doesn't deal with me because of after my attitude or my lack of faithfulness, my indifference. I'm so thankful. The Scripture says in verse 26-27, after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith He to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." No mention's made that anything was said to the Lord by the other disciples. Nobody said anything to the Lord about what Thomas had said. And why? They didn't have to. The Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. The Lord heard him say, "I don't, if I can't put my finger, if I can't, I'll not believe." Oh, if the Lord had left him to himself. If He just left him alone. And He had the right to do that. He'd do that. "I'll have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will." He could have done that. He could have left me alone. He could have left you alone. But He wasn't pleased to do so. Took that proud and arrogant and haughty, just mean. He was just mean-spirited. He just mean. I mean, this man walked with the Lord. And the Lord heard him, and he met again. And in love and compassion, he said, "Thomas, by faith, right now. Marvin, put your finger, that finger of faith, right here. I laid down my life for you. I shed my blood for you. I gave myself for you." And with that privilege to be able by faith to believe it and behold Him, the Lord said to Thomas, latter part of verse 27, "And be not faithless." Oh, what a statement. Don't be without faith. That wasn't a mere suggestion. That was power speaking. Don't be without faith. Believe. Like I said, that wasn't something for Thomas to take or leave. Almighty God spoke, and with that word, power was imparted. And no mention that Thomas did it. There's no mention that Thomas actually put his finger in the prints of his hands or put his hands, here's what happened. Thomas, verse 28, answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." You are the Messiah. Thomas knew that. He knew that. But just the Lord allowing him just for a moment to be left to himself. "This is what's going to happen, Thomas, if I don't keep you. Without me, you can do nothing." If He withdraws just to allow us to see ourselves for what we really are. Let me tell you what happens when He withdraws Himself and allows us to behold. That that horrible, nasty attitude of ours just springs right forth and just stands up. Arrogance starts speaking. Allows us to see what we are. Thomas, don't you be without faith. You believe. My Lord and my God. That acknowledgement. Think about what he said. This is who you are. You're God. You're God. You are God Almighty, holy. This is who you are. You're unapproachable. Unapproachable. You're God, the just God, the consuming fire God. That's who you are. The unapproachable, holy God Almighty in heaven and earth, who without holiness cannot be approached without completely consuming anything that would come into His presence. You're God. But you're the Messiah. You're God Almighty who has humbled yourself and made yourself of no reputation and took upon yourself the form of sinful flesh. Lord, you're the unapproachable one who is now approachable as you are the Messiah. You're the way. You're the only way to God. And I believe you. I believe that you've shown mercy to me, that you've borne my guilt, and you paid the debt of the arrogance that I just saw in myself. I yield myself to you. You're my Lord. You're my God. By electing grace, redeeming grace, regenerating grace, giving me a heart to come to you. Lord, where would I be without you? I tell you, we see Thomas in ourselves, don't we? We see Thomas. All that, you know, he's going to allow us to see ourselves for what we are. But I tell you what he's promised. He said, I won't leave you there. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll show you what you are. I'll show you what you are. And I'll show you who I am. And I'll show you what I've done for you. Oh, by the grace of God. Lord, show that to me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. For Christ's sake. Amen.